You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
But this morning, I have the privilege of continuing a series that we have been in here at Revolution Church called Proverbs. If you don't know, Proverbs are short and sweet, little wise sayings, little sayings that are full of wisdom. And the Bible has a whole book full of them. We call it the Book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs exist outside of the Bible too. Like, for example, this week I looked up just some random Proverbs, and I thought these were inspiring, and I'd share them with y'all. Here's one. Build a man a fire, and he'll be warm for a day. Set a man on fire, and he'll be warm for the rest of his life. That's wisdom, I thought. Here's another one kind of in that same vein. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Don't teach a man to fish, and you feed yourself. He's a grown man, and fishing is not that hard. That was wisdom. That's a proverb from the great Juan Swanson, if you didn't know. Here's another good one. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. If you throw it hard enough. That's wise. That's wisdom. Those are technically examples of Proverbs. So Proverbs do exist outside of the Bible, but the Proverbs in the Bible are special. The Proverbs in the Bible are different because the Proverbs in the Bible are God-inspired, which means God himself inspired human beings to write these Proverbs. God himself wrote these Proverbs through people. Every time I get up here to preach in this sermon series, I want to make that very clear. This is God himself here giving you and I wisdom. Through these short and sweet little wise sayings. That's how valuable these words are that we're studying in this series. So what we've been doing so far in this series is we've been taking different subjects that are mentioned throughout the book of Proverbs, and we've been seeing what wisdom we can gain about this subject that's mentioned in Proverbs or that subject that's mentioned in Proverbs. We've covered subjects that range from anger to love to fear to adultery to alcohol to gossip, just to name a few. And today, as we continue to look at the Proverbs, we're going to talk about the subject of paths, paths, P-A-T-H-S. We're going to see what the Proverbs have to say, what God himself has to say through the Proverbs about paths. And that may sound a little weird. That may sound a little random. That may sound a little boring. But y'all, let me say this up right up front. Other than the gospel itself, like other than the fact that God himself came down from his throne to this earth that he created to literally die the most brutal death imaginable for our sin against him, and that he rose again to life, and that he's alive today and wants a relationship with you and I today, other than that, there is nothing crazier or more mind-blowing to me than this idea of paths in the Bible. And hopefully you will understand why I think that by the end of this message today. So this morning, I'm going to be in one proverb, just one, because there's so much we can learn just from this one proverb that I don't have time to add in any other proverbs. So just one proverb that teaches us about paths, and it's kind of a famous proverb. I mean, songs have been written about this proverb. Someone in here's grandma definitely had this proverb framed, and it was hanging on your grandma's wall growing up. If you grew up in church and Sunday school, you were definitely made to memorize this verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." That's our proverb this morning. And I know it's a famous one, and I know a lot of us might have heard this one before, but I want to break it down today and really dissect it today just to make sure that we all truly get what this proverb is trying to teach us. And I'm going to get straight to the paths part of this passage first. So we're going to start with what it said at the very end. It says, "And he will make straight your paths." He, God, will make straight your path. Your path. The first thing and the most obvious thing we can learn about paths from this proverb is this. And we have it up on the screen. God has a path for you. God has a path for you. What did we just read? It said, God will make straight your path. You have a path. God has a path for you. Y'all, the creator of the universe, and don't just let that, pass by your brain. The creator of the universe, like really let that sink in. The one who laid the earth's foundations, the one who stretched a measuring tape across planet earth and marked off its dimensions, as it says in the book of Job, that the being who created human life, the being who took the dust of the ground and formed the first human being, Adam, the one who breathed life into Adam's body, the breath of life, making him a living soul, the one who formed the first woman, Eve, from the rib of the first man, the one who snapped his fingers and flooded the entire planet, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one who brought down the great walls of Jericho, the one who gave a little boy the power and the ability to kill a giant warrior named Goliath with a rock and a homemade slingshot, the one who literally closed the mouths of lions protecting a prophet named Daniel, the one who allowed a teenage virgin to conceive and give birth to a child, the one who left his throne in heaven to become that baby, to grow up into a man, to lay down his life as a sacrifice for my sins and your sins, the one who demons were terrified of, the one who gave sight to the blind, the one who made the deaf hear, the one who gave people the ability to walk who couldn't walk, the one who calmed a hurricane with a word one time, and who made his disciples look at him and say, "Who in the world is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him?" The one who resurrected from death, the one who defeated hell, the one who defeated the devil, the one who defeated the grave, the one who took the sting out of death for you and me, the being with unimaginable power and wisdom, like our brains are actually too small to even come close to imagining a fraction of his power or a fraction of his knowledge. The one who Ephesians says has unlimited resources. The one who the angels cry out to day and night, over and over again, 24/7, nonstop. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That being, that God, the God loves you and knows you and has a path for you, a mission for you, an assignment for you and for your life. You know, I tell the students at Rev Students all the time, I tell them, I know that some of y'all may not fit in with the popular crowd at Stone or CCHS or whatever, but literally, the most popular and the most powerful person in existence knows you and loves you and has a plan for you, a path for you. You know, that being, that God, the God, has a custom-made, like tailor-made, by him, path laid out, ready to go for you. For you. He has something he wants you to do right now. And then something he wants you to do after that. And then something he wants you to do after that. And then something he wants you to do after that. He has a path for you. And I don't mean you as a group of people, Revolution Church Third Service. I mean you as an individual. God has a path for you individually, Jim, Sarah, Bob, you know, individually. God has a path laid out for Brandon McKenzie. God has a path laid out, ready to go for insert your name here. God has a custom-made path for you specifically. And listen, God knows everything about you specifically. He knows everything about you individually. God even knows how many hairs are on your head. You know, the Bible actually says that. It says that God knows how many hairs are on your head. Now, that's easier for him with some of us more than others. I get that. But back in the day when you did have that full head of hair, man, God knew how many of those bad boys were up there. The Bible says that God knows the exact number of individual strands of hair on your head. That's how deeply, that's how personally, that's how extensively that God knows you. He knows you better than you know you. Do you know how many hairs are or were on your head? No, you do not. Not only that, but God knows your talents. He knows your gifts. He knows your interests, your favorite this, your favorite that. God knows the things that make you angry. God knows the things that make you happy. God knows the things that break your heart. God knows the things that excite you. And God knows the things that bore you to tears. God knows your allergies, your medications, everything. And listen, he's taken all that into consideration. And he has custom made, tailor made, formed a path for you, a plan for you individually, a mission for you individually, an assignment for you individually. And what does your path look like? I don't know. I don't know what your path looks like. All of our paths look different. God is going to call us all to do different things He's going to call us all to be a part of different purposes based on who we are and who He created us to be. But one thing is true for all of us. God has formed a path for each of us that is going to bring us, hold on to this, joy and fulfillment in life, and that's most importantly going to bring Him glory through our lives, which, by the way, if you didn't know, is what each of you were created to do. And there's nothing more fulfilling and joyful than literally doing what you were born to do. Now, don't get me wrong. God is not promising each of us a path of health and wealth. Let me get that out the way. In fact, if we truly follow Jesus, we will suffer in some way, shape, or form. Jesus makes that abundantly clear. But God is offering you a path for your life that will bring you the kind of joy and fulfillment in life that, listen, not even health and wealth could bring you. That's joy. That's the difference, by the way, between joy and this thing called happiness. Because happiness can be bought. Health and wealth can buy happiness. Money can buy happiness. Y'all ever seen someone crying while riding a jet ski? Because I haven't. Money can buy happiness. Happiness can be bought. But one bad phone call takes all that happiness away. One bad doctor's visit takes all that happiness away. Happiness depends on what's happening, right? But God's path will bring you joy. And joy is not controlled by our circumstances. Joy is consistent through any and all circumstances. God is offering you a path for your life, a path that will bring you joy and contentment and peace, even in the middle of suffering when you do face it. You know, I've prayed for two different guys in the past month here at church who just got diagnosed with cancer. And any cancer diagnosis is serious, of course, but these were serious, serious cases. But the joy that was coming off of both those guys as I was talking to them was astonishing to me, really. But both of them, different guys, I don't even know if they know each other, but they were both so positive and upbeat, even as we were talking about the cancer. One of them was even like, I'll never forget it. He said, I cannot wait to see how God uses this in my life and in the lives of the people around me. How the heck did those guys have that kind of attitude? Because those guys had joy. And joy is not controlled by something like cancer. Joy is not controlled by our circumstances. Those guys had real joy because those guys knew that they were on God's path for their life. You can have that kind of joy, and you can have that kind of peace, and you can have that kind of fulfillment in life too if you walk on God's path for your life. God has a path for you. And yes, even you, God has a path for even you, despite whatever lie the enemy might be speaking to you in your head right now. God has a path for you despite your age, for example. I don't care if you're 13 years old, God has a path for you. God's path for you doesn't start when you're older. God has a path for you right now, to be used right now, to do mighty things for the kingdom of Jesus Christ right now, in your schools, on your teams, in your families, on your social media pages. God has a path for you, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, a path that's going to bring you joy and that's going to bring Him glory. I don't care if you're 80 years old. God has a path for you for the remainder of your life here on this earth. God can and will still use you. If you've never really truly walked on God's path for your life and let God really truly use you, it's not too late. There is no retirement age when it comes to serving Jesus and being used by God to do things for His glory with your life. I thought about my grandma as I was writing this. My grandma's in her 80s, and she's at that age where she's really struggling to get around physically. She really can't even leave the house anymore. But even at this age, even at this stage of her life, God is still using her to this day. And He's using her more than He's using most people who are in their prime physically, because she is on God's path for her life. He's using her to minister to me every time that I go see her, encouraging me, teaching me new things from the Word of God. He's using her prayers big time. God listens to my grandma's prayers. It's freaky. He's using her generosity. He's using her to lead members of my family who are far from Jesus to Jesus. She shares the gospel with them every time she speaks to them. I'm just telling you, y'all, God has something He wants you to do. God has a path for you despite your age, despite whatever condition you have, despite whatever season of life you may be in. God has a path for you. God even has a path for you despite what you've done. Oh, but Brandon, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but I have read the Bible, and I have seen God use some pretty messed up people in there I have seen God lay out a path for some people who did some pretty horrible things in the Bible. You know, I was thinking about this. When God introduces himself in the Bible, he usually starts by saying, hey, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, right? And when God says, I'm the God of Abraham, etc., I guess I used to just stupidly think that this was God like name dropping or something. Like God was trying to establish his credibility by name dropping these famous Bible names, right? That's so dumb. God doesn't need to name drop anyone. He's God. He doesn't need a puny human being to give him any sort of credibility. I think what God was doing when he introduced himself like that, I think he was just kind of bragging on himself. I think he was just saying, look what I can do with messes like Abraham and like Isaac and like Jacob. Each of those guys had serious flaws. I mean, a couple of those guys pimped out their own wives to protect themselves. It's a long story. You just have to go read it, but it's true. These guys were a mess. And I think God is saying, look what I can do with these messes. Look what I can do with these messes. And you see this all throughout Scripture, God taking messes and making a path for them, making a mission for them, putting them on that path and doing mighty things through them, bringing them joy and him glory. David, the rapist, the murderer, Noah, the drunk, Paul, the persecutor of Christians, who God used to plant the first churches and to write the majority of what we call the New Testament today, Rahab, the prostitute, who God used to be the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. God used a prostitute to bring himself into the world to die for our sins, the sins of humanity. God is saying, look what I can do with these messes. So just imagine what I can do with you. Just imagine what I can do with you. God has a path for you, despite your age, despite what you've done, despite whatever other lie the enemy may be trying to tell you in your head right now to make you think that's not true. God has a path for you, a path that won't always be easy, but it's a path that will give this life of yours purpose and meaning and joy and contentment, and that will bring God glory, which talk about an honor to bring the living God glory with your life. But y'all, here's the thing. God is not going to force this path on you. God is the perfect gentleman. He's never going to force himself on anyone. He's not going to force his path on you. God is not going to force his plans on you. And I know that maybe that kind of scrapes up against some of y'all's theology about God's sovereignty, and that's okay. We can still be friends. But my understanding of what the Bible teaches is that, yes, of course, God is sovereign. Yes, of course, God is in control. Yes, of course, God is going to get his way no matter what. Yes, of course, God is going to be glorified no matter what. But what I believe Scripture teaches is that God offers us a choice as to whether or not we are going to be a part of his sovereign definitive plans that are going to bring us joy and bring him glory. So God is not going to force you to live this kind of life he wants you to live, the kind of life that's going to bless you, right? That brings me to my next point. We should have it up on the screen. God has a path for you, but God's path for you is conditional. God's path for you is conditional. There are a few conditions that we each must meet in order for that path to be made straight for us, in order for us to be able to walk down that path. Being able to walk down that path for our lives that God has laid out, it is not a given. It's not a right. It's a great privilege, and it must be earned. It is 100% based on your performance and your decisions. Now, don't get it confused. Our salvation is not based on our performance. Our salvation is based on Jesus's performance. In other words, I don't believe that we can lose our salvation once we truly put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us, no matter how bad we screw up. But being on God's path, though, for our lives, experiencing the things that God has in store for us to experience, experiencing the joy and the blessings that come along with that, that is 100% based on your performance. You can lose that. We can lose that. There are things you and I must do in order to be able to have the privilege of walking down that path laid out for us individually by the living God. Simply being a Christian is not enough. I believe that there are Christians, maybe even in this room, who are going to heaven when they die, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, but they are not experiencing the joy and the peace and the fulfillment of walking down God's path for their lives. On top of that, they're not going to receive the eternal rewards in heaven that they would have received one day had they made a better effort on this earth to walk on God's plan for their lives. They're not meeting the conditions that we all have to meet in order for God to make straight our path. Let me pull up our proverb again to show you what I mean. Let's pull it up again. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then it says, he will make straight your paths. Did you catch the conditions? What did the proverb say? It said, first of all, you've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Condition number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust God. Do you trust God? If you want to walk on that path that we've been talking about, the path that God has for you, and trust me, you do want to walk down that path that God has for you, you got to ask yourself that question then. Do you really trust God? Do you trust God with all your heart and everything and everyone that's in there? Single people, do you trust God with your love life? I know some of y'all are dying to get married. Some of y'all are dying to have a husband, dying to have a wife. Some of y'all are just dying to have a girlfriend, dying to have a boyfriend, right? Do you trust God with the timing of that? Like, really? Do you trust God if maybe he doesn't even have a romantic relationship in store for you and marriage isn't involved on the path that he has laid out for you? God doesn't call everybody to get married, y'all. The Apostle Paul says it's actually better to be single than to be married because you can serve God better. So do you trust God even if he gives you the gift of singleness, even if he calls you to a life of singleness? Do you trust God with your kids? What if you want kids, but God doesn't have kids in store for your path? And instead, he has something else for you. Instead, he has something that's going to be, listen, better for you individually. Or maybe you'll be like my wife and I when we had big plans for our first child, for our son. I know I had big plans for my son. Sports, football. I named the kid Bear. That's like a football name, you know what I mean? But playing catch, you know, talking about girls when he gets that age, walking him through that kind of thing. But God did not have that in store for my path. He allowed my son to be born with special needs. And I have a kind of relationship with my son that is so night and day different than what I thought it would be. And although it took me a while, and trust me, it took me a long time, I'm at a point where I trust God with that situation. And I trust God with my son. I trust God with my kids. I trust that that must be what's best for me, my wife, and my family somehow. I may not find out how until I get to heaven one day, but I trust it. And until I made the decision to say, okay, God, I'm done fighting you on this. I trust you with this. I trust you with Bear. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my family. Until I made that decision, I couldn't walk on God's path. I couldn't take that next step on God's path. And looking back now, after studying this, it makes so much sense. I couldn't take the next step. And I was feeling this lack of joy, this lack of peace in my life. And it's because I wasn't trusting God with all my heart and everything and everyone in it. Do you trust God with your kids? Do you trust God with your future? Younger people, do you trust God with your college, your degree, your career, you know, your future? Because maybe the path that God has for you doesn't involve the degree that you're wanting right now, that you're going for right now. Maybe it's a different job that God has in store for you than you want currently. But do you trust God? Remember, God knows you better than you know you. So do you trust God? Do you trust God with your location? You know, God may call you to move somewhere. God's path for you may put you in a place geographically that you never dreamed you would be. Do you trust God with your money? You know, God calls us to be generous, to be givers with our money, with our things, with our stuff. Do you really trust God with your bank account, with your money? You got to trust God with all your heart and everything and everyone in it if you want to walk on the path that he has for you, a path that will bring you joy and that will bring him glory. And real quick, do you know how you can tell if you're struggling with trust? You know how you can tell if your lack of trust is stopping you from walking on God's path for your life? Your fear. Your fear will tell you. How fearful you are will be the indicator of how much you trust God or how much you don't trust God. Y'all, fear and trust are enemies. They hate each other. They can't stand each other. So they can't live in the same brain. They can't live in the same heart. Y'all, the opposite of fear is not courage. I believe the opposite of fear is trust. It's like this. My brother works on airplanes. That's his job. He works on planes. And listen, I know my brother. I know him very well. I lived with the guy. I've known him his whole life. And I have seen my brother do things that have completely solidified in my mind that Charles Darwin got it wrong, that only the smartest and the strongest will survive. If that were the case, we would have lost my brother long ago. That's all I'm saying. I've seen my brother run around the front yard of our house butt naked with a used toilet plunger screaming, I'm Superman. So listen, I wouldn't trust a plane that he's worked on. I would never fly on a plane that toilet plunger man has worked on. I just wouldn't. I don't trust it. Therefore, and don't miss this, I would be very fearful if I was flying on one of those planes. because I don't have trust. Fear and trust can't exist together. If you're a very fearful person, you probably aren't trusting God. That will hold you back from taking the next step on God's path for your life. So what you got to realize is God is not my brother. God is God, and God has built the plane. God has formed the path, and God will be with you on the path, and God will provide for you on the path with every step you take, and God is trustworthy, and God has never failed, ever. And no matter what he has called you to do, no matter what next step he's called you to take on the custom-made path he has laid out for you, he will not start failing by failing you. You will not be God's first failure, I promise. And if you're struggling with fear, and your fear is holding you back from doing something you know God is telling you to do, and it's holding you back from walking on God's path for your life, man, I would write that down somewhere that you see it every day. I will not be God's first failure. I will not be God's first failure. God will not let you down. And hey, when it's hard to trust God, here's just a little tip. Here's something that's helped me, because obviously trusting can be really hard sometimes. But when trust is hard, here's a little tip. Remember what God has done in the past. Remember what God has done in the past. So like I mentioned earlier, there was a time when God split a sea. He parted the Red Sea. He created dry land in the middle of the Red Sea for a guy named Moses and the Israelites to be able to walk straight through it as they were escaping slavery in Egypt. But that's not the only time that God did something like this. God also did this for a guy named Joshua, who was the leader of the Israelites after Moses. In this case, God parted the Jordan River for the Israelites to be able to walk through it as they were walking to the land that God promised them. And after they passed through the river, the Israelites' leader, Joshua, told the Israelites, hey, gather 12 big stones for me and place them at the river. Why? I'll let Joshua tell you why he did that. This is Joshua talking to the Israelites, Joshua 4, 6 through 7. It says, when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Joshua's saying, hey, Israel, when you're struggling to trust God, when things seem like they're falling apart, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel very fearful, look at the stones. Look at these stones and remember what God can do. Remember who's in control. Remember who built the plane. Remember who formed the path. So walk on the path, living off of remembering the moves of God, remembering the stones, a couple of my stones. One is this theater. Oh my gosh, if you guys were around when we got this theater, I mean, you know it was a move of God. You can't explain it any other way. And so I constantly think back of that and I remember the stone. Another one's my personal testimony where I believe God himself audibly spoke to me through another human being. And I remember that all the time. I remember that stone and go back to that when I'm fearing and when I'm struggling to trust God. Maybe for you, one of yours is someone who got healed. Maybe that's a stone for you. Maybe you're struggling financially and you need to remember a time where God came through and took care of you financially when you were worrying. But whatever it is, remember the stones. Remember that you can trust God. He is trustworthy. That's the first condition you must meet, but there is more. So trust God with all your heart, and let's pull the proverb back up. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Condition number two, do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, do not trust what makes sense to you. Do not trust what seems right or what seems good in your own eyes. No, instead, you got to trust and value what God says is good and what God says is right. And where do you find out what God says is good and what God says is right? We find that out through his word that we call the Holy Bible. Man, what are we doing, Christians, if we're not reading the Bible, right? And reading God's words. So we read God's word and we value what God says in his word. Listen, way more than what we want, more than our preferences, more than the things that make sense to us. You know, I don't know if I'm allowed to admit this as a pastor, but there are some times I'm reading the Bible, I'm just like, I wish I could just erase that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to confront that. I wish that wasn't there. But what this is saying is don't lean on your own understanding, Brandon. It's not about you. We're leaning on God's understanding, what God thinks is right and what God values. You know, if the Bible said that all men named Brandon had to hop on one leg for the rest of their life, you'd see me up here trying to hop on one leg. It would be hard for me. Man, I wouldn't understand it. You know, it wouldn't seem fair. It would be frustrating. I would mess up sometimes. The other leg would fall sometimes. But I would submit to it and I would try my absolute best to do it. because God says it. And because what makes sense to me doesn't matter. What I think is right doesn't matter. I do not lean on my own understanding. If the Bible said that all men named Brandon had to wear Tennessee Vol orange and had to be loyal fans of the Tennessee Vol football, oh my gosh, that would be hard for me. Are you kidding me? I would not understand that. But God, they've been in a rebuilding year for a decade. I mean, come on, please. It would be frustrating. I would mess up sometimes. You catch me slipping in my Georgia jersey. But you know, I would submit to what God says, and I would trust what God says, and I would try my best to do what God says. I would try my best to put God's words above my understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. I think about a guy named Ezekiel in the Bible who God called, God told this guy Ezekiel to lay on his side for a year and to only eat food that was cooked over poopy. True story. If Ezekiel leaned on his own understanding, he would have never in a million years done that, right? If Ezekiel leaned on his own understanding, he would have never been used by God, and we wouldn't be talking about him right now. Ezekiel, the scripture says Ezekiel got to see God's glory. He got to see the glory of God, but it's only because he didn't lean on what made sense to him, on what was right to Ezekiel. He didn't lean on his own understanding. If you want to see God's glory, so to speak, if you want to see what God can do through you, Christian, if you want to have the honor of bringing the creator of the universe glory with your life, then you cannot lean on your own understanding. That's condition number two. And there's one more condition. There's one more condition we must meet in order to walk on God's path for our lives. Let's pull the proverb up again. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then the last condition is this. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will make straight your path. So lastly, it says, in all your ways, in everything you do, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge Jesus. Condition number three, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, in all the different hats you wear, in all the different areas of your life, in all the different things that you do, you got to acknowledge God. You got to acknowledge Jesus if you want to walk on his path for you. So first of all, let's talk about what this word acknowledge means. It comes from the Hebrew word yada. It's Y-A-D-A, like Yoda's second cousin, right? And it means to know. And it's actually the same Hebrew word that's used in Genesis when it talks about Adam, the first man, knowing his wife Eve. And it's talking about sex. Same word there. And I know a lot of preachers will probably take this in a weird direction, but you can relax. I'm not going to take this in a weird direction. But I will say this. There is an element in sex of being completely exposed and not hiding anything. And I think that is the idea here. You know God, you acknowledge God in everything you do. He is not hidden from any area of your life. You are not hiding any part of your life from God. He's involved in it all. It's all exposed to him. Your bank account is exposed to God. He has access to it. Your relationship with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, is completely exposed to God, and he has access to it. It's not hidden from him. Your marriage is exposed to God, and he has access to it. Your relationship with your kids is exposed to God, right? The decisions you make at work, your work ethic in general, the business deals you make at the office, it's all exposed to God, and it's not hidden from God, and he has access to it. You get the idea? If you want to walk on the path God has for you, you got to give him your whole life. He's got to have access to it all. That's what it means to acknowledge God. That's what it means to know God. And listen, there's a big difference between knowing God and knowing of God. And I don't want you to get it confused. So I think it's worth taking just a few seconds here to say, I think there's probably some of us in this room who know of God, who know of Jesus, but you don't really know God. You don't really know Jesus in the way that this proverb is talking about. Let me put it this way. Before I got married, my shower was very simple, very simple. If you walked into my shower pre-marriage, you would have seen one gigantic bottle that said all in one on the front, right? And it had everything you needed. Your body wash, your shampoo, your conditioner, your toothpaste, your motor oil, everything in this one bottle, all in one. But as soon as I got married, my shower was taken over, invaded by bottles. There are bottles everywhere. bottles and bottles and bottles. And it's so frustrating because if I'm trying to find like shampoo, I'm like, oh, conditioner, 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 or trying to find body wash. And it's like shampoo, shampoo, shampoo. And it's so frustrating. It's so exhausting, you know? But the worst is when I come across these bottles called shower gel. And I'm not even joking with you. I'm not trying to be funny. I've been married for 10 years and I still have no clue what shower gel is. No idea. Like, is it like gel, like for your whole body? So is it body wash? Is it like hair gel? You know, so is it more like, you know, shampoo? Is it none of the above? I don't know. I hate shower gel. So here's the thing. I see shower gel every day of my life. I see this thing called shower gel every single day of my life, but I have no idea what it is. There are some people in this room, I think, probably statistically, who see Jesus every day, who see God every day. You live in the Bible Belt. You drive by churches. You drive by Christian billboards on the side of I-40 all the time. You scan through the radio. You hear the worship songs every day. You probably own a Bible, you know. You probably come to church, maybe even come to church regularly. You know of God. You know of Jesus, but you don't really know who Jesus is because you haven't acknowledged him in all of your ways. You haven't exposed your life to him and given him access to every part of your life. You know of Jesus, you see him every day, but you don't really know Jesus. Like, I don't really know what shower gel is. I'm a visual learner. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a visual learner. That's what they told me in high school. I'm a visual learner, and so I have, for all the visual learners up here, let me put it a different way. Can we pull that slide up for me, y'all? So I made a pie chart for you guys. This is made by yours truly. That's why it's so detailed and pretty. This is like the ideal Christian life, right? This is a really generous breakdown, I'd say, of a Christian's life. This is like the goal, right? Like maybe it's not the way that our lives look right now, if we're being honest, but we would like it to look something like this if we're Christians in here. You know, family time, work time, both get a pretty significant chunk of our lives. We're going to live a little bit, though. We got a little sliver of hobbies there. And then Jesus takes about half of our life. I mean, that looks pretty good to me, right? Well, listen, here's what I think Proverbs is teaching. Even if you made it here, like even if you made it to where this is what your life really truly looked like, and Jesus was that big of a part of your life, he was that much of a chunk of your life, you would still not be able to walk on God's path for your life. This is still not good enough. This is still not what the proverb means when it says acknowledge God in all your ways. Let me show you what acknowledging God in all your ways looks like. It's a change of thinking. Pull that next slide up. It looks more like this. To acknowledge God, to acknowledge Jesus in all your ways, to know Jesus in all your ways looks a lot more like this. It's not making Jesus a part of your life. It's making Jesus a part of every part of your life. You get it? Jesus is touching everything. Jesus has access to everything. Jesus is involved in everything. That's the goal, y'all, right there. That's acknowledging him in all our ways. That's the condition number three, to put Jesus at the center and to let Jesus have access to every single part of our lives, to acknowledge him in every single area of our lives and all the different hats that we wear. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will make straight your path. That's condition number three. So those are the conditions. Trust God with all your heart. Condition number one. Condition number two, do not lean on your own understanding. And then thirdly, acknowledge him in all your ways. If you meet those conditions, y'all, then he will make straight your path. Then you can start walking on your calling. Then you can start letting God, the God, use you to do mighty things that you never even dreamed that you could do. Then you can walk on your custom-made, tailor-made path that will bring you joy and that will bring him glory. Let me pray for y'all. God, first and foremost, thank you so much for dying for us, for coming to this earth, living a perfect life we couldn't live, allowing yourself to be brutally murdered on a Roman cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins against you, so that we can spend eternity with you and not separated from you. Thank you so much for that. If that's all that you ever did for us, that's more than we could possibly ever deserve. We first and foremost thank you for that. But secondly, Lord, I just want to, God, you've given us a path. on top of all that, you've given us a path. And it's so hard to meet these qualifications to walk on that path. These are not easy qualifications, if we're being honest. So secondly, Lord, I just want to pray for the people in this room. And I pray, I hope that people would pray this for me as well. I pray this for all of us. God, help us trust you with all of our heart. Help us to not lean on our own understanding of what we think is right. And God, help us to acknowledge you in all of our ways, to give you access to every part of our life so that we can walk down that path that just out of the abundance of your love and grace you've allowed us to have, so that we can be a part of your definitive sovereign plans, so that we can bring you glory with our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank y'all for listening to me. Y'all are dismissed. Have a great, great week.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.